Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Francesca Levy. Laura Carlson is out. It's day 117 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Today's main story. As another wave of the virus bears down on the United States, millions of people who lost their jobs when the outbreak began are stranded without health insurance. But first, here's what happened in virus news today. India has become a global hotspot for the pandemic. The country's outbreak is now the third biggest in the world, surpassing Russia. India now has around 700,000 COVID-19 cases. Only the US and Brazil have more. India had one of the world's strictest lockdowns at the end of March, when the country reported fewer than 1,000 cases. But infections have surged since June, when Prime Minister Narendra Modi eased restrictions to rescue the economy from collapse. A New Jersey company has won approval to make a portable COVID-19 test that delivers results in 15 minutes. The Food and Drug Administration granted emergency use authorization for Becton Dickinson to make the handheld product, which is around the size of a cell phone. It's part of a new class of tests that promise to make detecting the virus faster and cheaper. The first such test was cleared for U.S. use in May. The country has struggled with a test shortage since the pandemic's early weeks. That's led to long lines for testing in new hotspots like Arizona, Texas, and Florida. Finally, data confirms that in the U.S., Black and Latino people are being harmed by the coronavirus at higher rates than whites. The New York Times reported on federal data that proves this. Data that was only made available after the newspaper sued the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Latinos and Blacks have been three times as likely to become infected and twice as likely to die from the virus, according to the new numbers. And now for today's main story. As a second coronavirus wave threatens America, the virus has endangered the health of millions. Not just because of the effects of COVID-19, but because a wave of job losses since the disease first hit has left them without health insurance. I spoke to Bloomberg reporter Reed Pickert, who explains that in other developed economies, the newly unemployed could rely on systems of universal health care. In America, they've had to navigate a bewildering menu of options to figure out if they have access to a patched-together safety net.
Join us in Chicago or virtually on May 2nd for Bloomberg's Business Value of AI event and networking reception. This event will gather business and technology executives to share their experiences and provide insights into their strategies for deploying AI that achieves a desirable ROI. You'll also learn how companies have successfully implemented AI solutions that have improved productivity and profitability. This program is proudly sponsored by IBM. Register at bloomberglive.com/AI/radio.
We know that the pandemic led millions of people to lose their jobs.
So what does that mean more broadly for healthcare?
So more than half the U.S. population relied on the workplace for health coverage before the pandemic hit. So when tens of millions of people lost their jobs as a result of the pandemic and the recession that it spurred, millions of people found themselves not just out of work, but without health insurance. And, you know, the U.S. is pretty unique in this way, in the fact that many other countries have, you know, a national healthcare system available to all, regardless of your work status. But in the U.S., whether you have insurance or not, and therefore access to affordable healthcare, largely depends on whether you have a job or not. So, you know, Congress acknowledged that problem and set aside billions of dollars to help pay for COVID-19 testing and treatment for the uninsured. But that aid doesn't cover regular or more routine medical costs.
And so when we talk about all of these people who lost health insurance because of the job losses during the pandemic, how many people are we actually talking?
So there are several estimates to how many people have lost their health insurance, and it largely depends on how you want to look at the losses. So the Economic Policy Institute, for instance, estimated that more than 16 million workers lost their employer-provided health insurance as of early May. If you were to include dependents like spouses and children, the Kaiser Family Foundation actually estimated that almost 27 million people could have lost their employer-sponsored coverage and become uninsured between March and May. And, you know, the good news, at least, is that most of these people who lost their health insurance were in a position to join a family member's plan or qualify for Medicaid or the Affordable Care Act marketplace tax credits. And those are the tax credits that help reduce the costs of the private plans that, you know, could replace jobs-based coverage for households with low or moderate incomes. But at least what we found is that not everyone fits into one of those buckets. So without Medicaid and without a subsidy, paying for health insurance is incredibly expensive, and many people may choose to just go without. And the holes seem to be even bigger in states that haven't expanded Medicaid, like Florida and Texas.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about Florida and Texas. What is unique about those states?
So Florida and Texas are unique in the fact that they have enormous populations, but they chose not to expand Medicaid. So in those states, you know, if you don't qualify for an ACA subsidy and you don't qualify for their normal Medicaid programs, you have this gap that people are falling into. And the gap can be exacerbated by the fact that in those states, there have also been issues with people getting their unemployment insurance and getting approved for it. So for instance, I talked to someone in Texas who, because it took them months to get their unemployment insurance approved and that they didn't qualify for Medicaid, they ended up not qualifying for an ACA tax credit either because they couldn't show that they had that income. When in fact, if they had gotten their jobless benefits in an appropriate amount of time, then they would have qualified, and the costs would have been hundreds of dollars cheaper for that plan.
And of course, the delay in getting these jobless benefits is itself sort of a byproduct of the pandemic, right? So many people are applying for unemployment benefits at the same time that people are having trouble even getting their phone calls answered.
Exactly. So this is not something that is normal for the unemployment insurance system. They've gotten thousands and thousands of calls, and the systems and the websites have been completely overwhelmed by the amount of demand for these benefits. And so you just have this issue where, you know, the pandemic itself has exposed holes in America's safety net. So, you know, those job losses strain the unemployment insurance system greatly. And so, you know, many out of work Americans found themselves waiting weeks or even months for their entitled aid. Others found that they didn't even qualify. And, you know, the loss of health insurance is just kind of the latest issue to come to light. So, you know, while Medicaid and ACA have helped many more from going uninsured, gaps remained, and those gaps show an entirely different way. The kind of safety net is not quite working for all U.S. workers.
So is this going to continue to be an issue going forward? Is the problem going to get any better when, you know, labor market statistics start ticking up and the outlook looks more upbeat?
So what we've seen in the weeks since these estimates were made, so these estimates, you know, are going up through May, basically. And since then, we've gotten the employment reports from the Department of Labor for both May and June. And the labor market has changed a lot. Millions of people have been brought back onto employers' payrolls, especially in things like food services. And the unemployment rate has dropped substantially from where it was, though, you know, remains extremely high. But the problem is that, you know, this rebound that we're seeing in the jobs market is not exactly directly comparable to this problem being solved in terms of health insurance. And that's because of the way that these rehirings are broken down. So the problem is that employees in sectors like food services, where a lot of those gains have been seen, have relatively low coverage rates for employer-provided health insurance in the first place. Meanwhile, you know, sectors like state governments, which often provide health insurance, continue to lay off workers. So, you know, you put that together, and on top of that, you have more than 1 million people apply for unemployment benefits each week. And we're seeing that people are continuing to lose their jobs at an alarming rate.
What does this kind of tell us about the strength of our safety net and about what might happen in the future with the way that we think about how Americans are insured?
This is the first recession that we've been in where we've had the Affordable Care Act. And there's no doubt when all of this is said and done with that the ACA will have kept many from going uninsured in the wake of losing their employer-sponsored coverage. But I think what it really shows is that in the best of times, the safety net misses some people. And when we talk about health insurance, I think we've learned that pairing extreme job loss with that patched together safety net has let millions of people fall through. And now some people are finding themselves in a scenario where they're having to decide, well, do I pay hundreds of dollars towards having health insurance because my employer-sponsored health coverage is gone, or perhaps because my state decided not to expand Medicaid? Or do I put food on the table or pay my bills? And I think that is a very unique problem America is facing, and one that's really hard to swallow.
That was Reed Pickard. You can read her story with John Tazi on Bloomberg.com. And that's it for our show. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is produced by Topher Forges, Jordan Gospore, Magnus Henriksen, and Laura Carlson. Today's main story was reported by Reed Pickard. Original music by Leo Sidran. Our editors are Rick Schein and me, Francesca Levy. Bloomberg's head of podcasts is me.
The Bloomberg Sustainable Business Summit returns to London on April 25th for a solutions-driven look at the sustainable business and finance landscape, looking at the latest trends in ESG regulations, supply chain innovation and transition finance. Speakers include leaders from CDP, Emirates Environment Group, Seedtrace, COA and more. Summit advisors include City Commercial Bank, Red Sea Global and Schneider Electric. Visit BloombergLive.com/SBS2024 to learn more.